Morning, how we doing? Good to see you today. So 12 days left until Christmas. How are we doing with our Christmas shopping? Good? Got the able to get the stuff that you're looking for. How many people are on, like, majority online shopping? Majority. Not as much. Wow. All right. Well, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be unwrapping the gift of Christmas. Or in other words, what are some of the gifts that God gives to us? And this morning, we're going to be looking at the gift of Spirit-filled living. You know, our Christmas staff party here at the church, pretty tame. You know, we get together, have dinner, and all that kind of stuff, and play a game or whatever. I've talked to other people that have their work office Christmas, you know, parties, and they're a little bit more wild than that, right? And there's always a person that ends up saying stuff that they shouldn't, or they get embarrassed because they've, you know, had too much of the extra potent eggnog, if you know what I mean. And they just let themselves get under the influence of something stronger than just plain old eggnog. And oftentimes we see this on comedy shows, on TV as well. But in reality, there's really nothing funny about ruining a reputation or wrecking a career because of that activity, right? Because of alcohol, for overindulging in that. And so we know that alcohol influences the decisions that we make. It takes away our inhibitions. Thank you. Help me out a little bit. It fills us with false courage, and rarely does it turn out well for the person under that influence. And so why am I talking about that? Why am I going down that road this morning? It's because it's interesting to me that there are places in the Bible where being filled with the Holy Spirit is compared to the consumption of alcohol. And so, like, what's that all about? We're going to take a look at that in a moment. And so during our series, we're going to see three things that God has done for us, three gifts that God has given to us. And first is the gift of Spirit-filled living. And in the first chapter of Mark, Jesus begins his ministry on earth by going into the desert where a prophet named John the Baptist is preaching and baptizing people, and Jesus goes there to be baptized. And so John's like, why are you coming to me to be baptized? Like, I should be baptized by you. And Jesus' response to John the Baptist is found in Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. It says, but Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he consented. So basically what he's saying is it's the right thing to do, right? Now, there have been like doctrinal dissertations written about what this phrase, what this verse is really talking about. But for us today, I think it is enough to know that Jesus was baptized because it fulfilled all righteousness. Right? It was the right thing to do. It carried out what God required. And as we begin this series, we're going to look at something that happened in a short time before Jesus was baptized, a phrase that tells us of a wonderful gift that we've been given. And the gift is this. Mark chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. And I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so what John is telling his listeners is that there's going to be coming a brand new way to experience our relationship with God. And this new relationship will be inwardly based. It will be intensely personal and deeply intimate. And so the story of Christmas tells us a lot about the fact that God is super interested in relationships. There are indications all through the Old Testament. For example, Hosea chapter 6, God is telling an unrepentant Israel and Judah how to come back into right relationship with him. And in verse 6, he says, "For I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice." Right? The knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. So throughout the Old Testament, there's hints and promises and prophecies that the day is coming when God will relate to people differently. And John the Baptist was saying, and here's the one through whom it will happen. I will baptize you with water, but he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit of God. So what does that mean? Well, that's what we're going to consider today. We're going to look at it a little bit closer today. What does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? And if you have a history in the church, and maybe have one theological mindset or another, you might already have an idea of what that means to you. What I'm going to try to do this morning, I'm just going to look at it in the context of what John meant as it relates to the work of Jesus and how that makes a difference in our lives. Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, once said that if he only had one sermon to preach, it would be a sermon about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because he really saw this as a very important attribute of the Christian life. Now, the follower of Christ needs to know how to be filled with the Spirit, how to live day to day a Spirit-filled life. And when your life is filled with the presence of God, it makes a difference in how you live. When you become under the influence of the Holy Spirit, it affects everything about you. Like your decisions, your outlook on life, your perspective, your desires. It affects your emotions. And when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you do God-ordained works that you might not have the mindset or the energy to do. You say God-inspired words that you might not have had the wisdom to say before. Right? You take God-glorifying stands that you might not have had the courage to take before. When you live a Spirit-filled life, your life is not only better, but it becomes more effective and productive and more meaningful in every single aspect. So the gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift that we receive through Jesus, right? That's what it says in Mark 1, verse 8, "I baptize you with water, but he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And so Jesus comes into the world at Christmas time, and he lives a perfect life, and he dies on the cross for our sins, and he rises again from the grave so that we might experience new life in him. And part of that new life is the work of the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to experience that. So today I'm going to like to look at three aspects of a Spirit-filled life. Go ahead and take your note sheets out. You can follow along with me. The first aspect is the nature of the Spirit-filled relationship with God. And so our relationship with the Holy Spirit is intended to be all-consuming. Right? It's not an occasional or temporary or compartmental kind of thing. No, it reaches all parts of our lives. And John uses the phrase in the last part of verse 8, first chapter of Mark, he says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word baptize there means to immerse. It means to dip. It means to dip one thing into another. It means to saturate. It means to give all of ourselves and live a Spirit-filled life. And that means just not on Sunday morning, right? Or only the parts of your life that you have labeled like religious or something. It applies to the whole mass. It applies to your work. It applies to your marriage. It applies to your family, your friendships, your free time, your hobbies, your conversations, your habits, your attitudes. It applies to everything about you. And God's will is that all of you, every aspect of your life, will be immersed with the Holy Spirit's presence and the Holy Spirit's influence. So not only is it an all-consuming relationship, but it is a personal relationship. And so you're probably thinking, now, okay, I get a relationship with God, and I get a relationship with Jesus, but a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Yeah. The Holy Spirit is God, right? We refer to him as the third person of the Trinity. Just as God the Father and Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God. Now, I've been in church like my whole life practically, and I remember, and some of you might remember, we used to sing this old hymn that one of the lines in the hymn was, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Right? You ever remember that? Holy Spirit is God. And so what that doesn't mean is that we do not worship three gods, right? We worship one God who exists eternally in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Which means that the Holy Spirit is a he, it's not an it, right? We refer to the Holy Spirit with a personal pronoun. The Holy Spirit's not the force be with you of Star Wars, right? Holy Spirit is personal. And he loves and he cares and he knows and he can be grieved. And you can pray to the Holy Spirit. Like, Holy Spirit, come and guide us and give us wisdom. And so when you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. And when Jesus talked about the promise to his disciples shortly before his death, he said this in John 14, verses 16 and 17, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So when we talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not a question of us getting more of God. It's a question of God getting more of us. So on the day of Pentecost, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, after he ascended into heaven, the promise of the Holy Spirit was fulfilled, right? He falls upon a group of believers who had gathered to wait and pray up there in the upper room. And then it spills out into the streets, and they began prophesying and preaching and proclaiming the name of Jesus and speaking in a number of different languages. And then the critics come, right? And they try to dismiss all of this by saying, in effect, those fanatics have had too much to drink. And then Peter, he gets everybody's attention, and he's like, look, Acts 2:15, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third day or the third hour of the day. That's like 9 o'clock in the morning. Right? He's like, look, that's not the deal here. Notice the comparison to alcohol or strong drink. Well, when a person is drunk, they're not literally filled with alcohol from top of their head to the soles of their feet. Right? It's not how much they've had. It's the fact that it's taken over their system and it's now in control. It's influencing what they do. And again, in the book of Ephesians, the comparison is made to being drunk when Paul says in chapter 5, verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. The comparison here is to the influence. That's what is being filled with the Holy Spirit is all about, right? It's about living under the influence of God's presence in your life. So that brings us to the second Spirit-filled aspect of life, and that is, what does a Spirit-filled life look like? Well, let's take a look at like three quick attributes of a Spirit-filled life. When you receive Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and the first attribute is that your life is filled with God's presence. So God's not just watching from above, right? He is dwelling within you. And so when Jesus told the disciples about the coming of the Holy Spirit, he referred to him as what? A counselor. Some translation says comforter or helper. And Jesus told them that he would be with them forever. Right, John 14, 26 and 27. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not that as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Right? So Jesus is leaving, like, he doesn't have any money to give to his followers, but he gives them these gifts that can't be bought, right? The presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of peace. That's kind of what I'm talking about as we unwrap Christmas this year. I mean, how many people that are living defeated lives would buy the power of the Holy Spirit if they could? How many distraught souls would buy the peace of Jesus? Right? It can't be bought. But Jesus gives them as gifts to his children. And the best part of the gift of the Holy Spirit is that God is always with us, right? Right where we are. You have the presence of God in your life. You are not alone. Right? You are not abandoned. You are not left behind. It is Emmanuel, right? God with us. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 puts it this way. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. You know, an essential part of God's work is the sealing work of the Holy Spirit. It's his presence in our lives that act as a seal, which indicates ownership, which is the guarantee of our inheritance. That word guarantee is down payment. It's used only in the New Testament of the Holy Spirit. He is our only down payment of coming glory. Nothing else provided or needed. We have this guarantee until we're completely purchased by God through resurrection and glorification. And again, all to what? Give God the glory. So how does this work in our lives? Have you ever had the experience of knowing that God was with you even during a difficult time in your life? I mean, you could just feel his presence. Now, I get we don't put our faith in feelings and all that, but I do think there are times, and most often in difficult times, when God breaks through our emotions and he reminds us that the Bible is true, and he says, I am with you always and my spirit will be with you forever. So being filled with the Holy Spirit means you're walking in the presence of God. It also means that we live a power-filled life. Remember that first part of Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So what kind of power? Well, power that you and I need to live a life that brings God glory. Power to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now, you've probably heard somebody said, God won't give you more than what you can handle. I'm not sure that that's necessarily accurate. I think the reality is that God doesn't give you problems equal to your strength. What he does is he gives you power that are greater than your problems. Paul says that we're what? More than conquerors. He said the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now living in you. And he will give you life in Romans 8. That means when we're living under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we can pray, God, give me strength to do what I need to do. And it will be there. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power. And when you're living a Spirit-filled life, you're living a transformed life. And when you live under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we become more Christ-like. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 becomes a reality for you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against these things there is no law. The Holy Spirit's presence in our lives brings out those qualities. And the more we walk in the Spirit and the more we demonstrate love, right? The more you're filled with joy, and on it goes. And what I'm trying to drive at this morning is that a Spirit-filled life is a transformed life. And it's the most reliable evidence of the Holy Spirit's presence in you, and that is to become more and more like Jesus. All right, the last aspect to go over this morning is how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think this is probably the most important thing to understand, and that is that it's not a one-time event. It's a repeated thing, an everyday experience, and every hour of every day exposure to the presence of God. Earlier, I talked about Ephesians 5:18, don't get drunk with wine, but for its debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. The Greek tense verb there means to be continually filled. It's an ongoing process. And so how does that happen? Well, Paul says in Ephesians 5 that being filled with the Spirit means that you're surrendering yourself to its power, to the Holy Spirit's influence, to the Holy Spirit's control of your life. And so will you allow his presence in your life to control your thoughts, to control your words, to control your actions? It's a decision that we make every moment of the day. So you simply ask God, and maybe you simply ask him and you say something like this, like, you've given me the Holy Spirit. You've commanded me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I now ask you to fill me as I yield myself to you. So you don't have to beg. You don't have to plead. You don't have to wait and see if God decides to show up. Like, I get that sometimes we have to wait on God for timing to be right, or for him to move in our lives in a big way, for him to provide an answer to prayer. Sometimes we wait for that. But in this case, to experience the power that we need in this moment, there is no waiting at all. When you ask to be continually filled, you're filled. What I'm trying to drill down on this morning is that if you want your life to be better, and by saying that, I'm really saying this, to be more effective, more powerful, and walking closer to God and becoming more and more like Christ. If that's what you're looking for, then we need to immerse ourselves in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was born into this world, ultimately to die on a cross for our sins, so that through him, we could experience a right relationship with God. And then he promises this. He told his followers, John 14:18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And Jesus promises to come again. And this is a broad promise fulfilled by his resurrection, by sending of the Spirit, and especially by the promise of his bodily return to this earth. But he comes to us right now through the presence of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. And it's just not a weekend thing. It's an everyday thing. It's an around-the-clock thing. And our lives need to be saturated with the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, you'll experience God's presence and his power, and you'll be transformed and changed into Christ-likeness. So my prayer for us as we get started in our Christmas celebration is that we would take advantage and use the gift of the Holy Spirit. Surrendering ourselves fully to him, being filled with his presence and his power, and living a Spirit-filled life. What a gift God has given to us. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you for your word today. God, my prayer this morning is, as believers that are here this morning, God, that we would live Spirit-filled lives. God, that whatever problems or things that come into our lives, Lord, I pray that we would be filled with the Spirit and we would react godly. And by doing that, God, we would show the people around us what Christ-likeness is all about. So that we would see many fall down on their knees and confess you as Lord. God, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for him being born and living on this earth and dying for our sins. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.